In section two of Becoming Brain Smart, we will learn how connection wires the brain for self-control, allowing the higher centers of the brain to override the impulses and insecurities of the lower centers of the brain. We will also discover how we talk to children becomes how they will talk to themselves using their inner speech for the rest of their lives. Join me now. So welcome to part two of the brain and becoming brain smart. One of the things is the higher centers of the brain up here loves novelty, loves new. The lower centers of the brain love sameness, predictability, and consistency. So knowing that, we need to balance it for our children. So obviously, when you're young, that's why you read that book over and over and over, because they want the sameness, because the lower centers of their brain are developing with a little newness. Repetition with a little newness. As you get older, you want more novelty. But that's the general rule, but you need to know your children. Children come in. Take children with autism. A lot of predictability is needed, because newness just overstimulates an already overstimulated system. So balance novelty and sameness, novelty and predictability. Notice that with your own self. How much novelty can you handle today? How much predictability do you need today? And adjust your life accordingly. Okay, so here's how we're going to start this time. So Mindy, if you'd come up, please. It's going to go, it's brain smart time, and it's going to tell us what to do, put our hands up and do all this. But at one point on the second verse, it's going to go, it's brain smart time, touch elbow to elbow. So you're going to touch your elbows to elbow. It's going to say touch thumb to thumb. And then it's going to touch knee to knee and toe to toe. Then it's going to say work together. And what we're going to do is we're going to go, so she would have somebody on her side. We're going to go elbow to elbow, thumb to thumb, knee to knee, toe to toe. So it kind of looks like this. Very attractive. So, so everybody up, up, and let's go.
It's brain smart time.
Hands to the left.
It's brain smart time.
Hands to the right.
It's brain smart time.
Come on, stretch it.
Hands up high. It's brain smart time. Hands down low.
Follow me. Come on, work it now. Now, see the difference? That one had no joy juice. You didn't clap. when we had the joy juice, you're like, all right, all righty. This one had us just moving. I mean, we touched, but we really didn't make that face-to-face, and you just sat down. So one of the reasons that we do a lot of movement, we jump and carry on, is the best exercise for the brain is exercise, so never forget that. Okay, now, if I said to you, who in here would love, or who listening would love to have the most perfect healthy lungs? Yeah, and who would like to have the most perfect healthy heart? Yes, but the interesting thing about that is unless they work together, unless they're integrated, you still will die. So you can have the perfect set of lungs, perfect heart, but if that connecting between them, the integration between them doesn't work, then bye-bye. So that's what we're going to talk about in this session. How do we wire this brain? I introduce you to the states. Now we got to see about the wiring. And once we understand the wiring and how things work a little bit more, then we're ready to start our journey on what skills work best when. So if I could have my brain back, and I'm going to have a six-person brain. Yes, I'm bringing all the brain. So here we're going to line up. Melissa, you're right here, and you're right here, and there we go. Now, if you all will turn, stay behind your person, and face towards that direction. There you go. All right. So now, how are we going to wire this brain? Because now, here I'm up, I'm walking through life, I'm in the higher centers of my brain, and some kid hits another kid, pushes my button, triggers me, and actually calls me and says the F word. Okay, look at that. Y'all went, okay, says the F word. And what happens to me? Boom. It triggers me down into the lower centers of my brain. In this case, I'm going all the way down to survival. Now, once you get down here, you need to be able to get out, right? We've had a lot of kids who get upset and get stuck in this state for like 4 hours, but you need to be able to get out. So imagine, we're in Orlando now, imagine we're gonna ride from here to Tampa and there were no roads. That would be a nasty, nasty trip with all these lakes and alligators and spiders. Oh my, okay, so this would just be a hard ride, but now if you have a road or a highway, there's a good chance of getting there. So how do we make these roads, so if y'all put your hands up straight in front, how do we make these roads so that when you find yourself in a lower center, you have a way out to come back up to the higher centers, even if you're a little teeny kid? How do we help them get up here? Well, you have to have these roads. Now, these roads are made from connection. Remember I said connection on the outside builds connection on the inside, and these are the connections that actually make a road so that you can move from a lower center to a higher center and have the possibility of learning to self-regulate. Now, a lot of kids, take your hands down, a lot of kids, due to different traumas or high stress in their life, come to us like this. So when the world doesn't go their way, it's first hard to get up to the higher center of the brain, but when the world doesn't go their way, they get stuck in these lower states. So they may come into your school or come into your classroom in a survival state every day. They may show up in an emotional state and they're stuck in that state. So if you look at this, just from looking inside our metaphor brain, will any sticker or star or promise of a reward help them be successful? They might squeeze one off, maybe squeeze one win, but that's it. Also, will any punishment make this better? No, because they don't have the wires in place. So what we have to do, if y'all put your wires up, what we have to do is have more face-to-face connection time. Face-to-face connection time, more joy juice. Because that's the wiring that makes this work. Now, we said connection has four things, so we're going to review those now. We want a connection which involves face-to-face, and it has eye contact, touch, presence in a playful situation. All right. So now, if this brain is wired like this, then the CEO gets to run the show. So if both of you and Blanche and Melissa, if y'all would walk forward and everybody come with her, bring your brain forward, okay, and stop. Take your brain backwards. Look. Look who gets to be in charge. This very high state gets to be in charge. Now, let's cut this down. Okay, now, if you two would walk forward, look what happens. All you can do from this situation, turn around, is watch yourself do stupid stuff. Now, everybody in here has watched themselves do stupid stuff, have you not? And the interesting thing about this is this part of the brain is the thinking part of the brain. This part of the brain makes up stories. This part interprets things and makes up stories. So the interesting thing is we get to watch ourselves do stupid stuff, and we get to make up a story about it. And we can make up a story like, you know, if I hadn't have married you, none of this would have happened. You know, so we can make the story about how other people and events and stuff are ruining our lives and we're just a victim to all these villains in our us and them paradigm. Or we can make up a story where we're just a piece of dirt and we're the villain that's made the world miserable for everyone else. Or we can understand we're making up a story. We can see it differently and say, oops, oops, oops. I can change that. I can change that. Just get back on path. Be conscious. Get back on the path. So let's go back here and put our brains back together. Now, what happens with this is in our brain, we can disconnect our own brain. So let's just hold it up here. All you have to do is in your inner speech go, I'm no good, I can't get anything right, I can't believe I did this again. All you have to do is get that critical voice inside your head, and guess what you do to yourself? Then you disconnect this, so you now can't override your impulses, nor can you override your insecurities, and you can find yourself doing a lot of shopping, a lot of eating, a lot of all kinds of stuff, because you're like, oh! Because all this unconscious stuff is driving the boat. So if you find yourself condemning yourself, stop, breathe, wish yourself well. Also, you can disconnect this by doing it the other way. Instead of saying, I'm so horrible, I'm so ugly, I'm so worthless, we're going, you're so horrible, you're so worthless, you're so ugly. Still same process. The brain does not understand pronouns. The biochemistry of hate, the biochemistry of condemnation is the same, whether it's going outward or inward, and it literally disconnects your brain like this. And what happens when you disconnect your brain like this, this is the knowing part of your brain, and this, put them up like that, is the doing part of your brain. So all of us know what to do, right? Don't you know that that speed limit sign says 55? I mean, I do. We know, but we don't always do. So I'm going to say this is a child, okay? And the children know what to do, but they don't always do it. So let's have a disconnected brain. And all you're going to do is say the answer to the question is share. So this child has just grabbed stuff from other children and hoarded materials and all that. And I go, what should you have done?
Share.
See? And then we go, I knew it. I knew they knew better. I knew they knew better. And then we just get ourselves all worked up again. Yes, they know better, but that's not going to help you because they have to be in this situation, connected with you in a relationship to do better. And you guys know this. Have a fight with your significant other and let that distress build in you. How good of a worker are you on that day until you actually kind of mend that fence again? I mean, you know, and as soon as you get a pause in a day, you're trying to, you know, text or trying, and they're like, I'm not going to play with you. But that distress builds, and you're doing things you know you shouldn't do, but you can't seem to stop yourself. You're like, you know, maybe texting every 2 minutes is not the best answer. You know, they probably got the first one, and that's a clue. I don't want to talk to you. But no, we're like, mm-hmm. So you've all experienced this. So this is knowing and doing. Now, One other thing I want you to know is it doesn't look exactly like this. So what happens is this energy, this survival state, this fight or flight energy, this fight, flight, or flee, comes up from the bottom of the brain, and it actually comes over here and falls on this side of the brain. So what I want you to do is you're going to rotate your brain so that you two are like we first started. So you're going to, there we go. All right. Now, so if you can see, I'll step outside. So you can see all the energy comes up to this right hemisphere. So I want you to take your hand like this and go, na 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 na. One more time. Na 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 na. Take the other one to your left hemisphere and go, hi.
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 So all this energy, all this negative emotion tends to come up and kind of jam into this right hemisphere. So that's kind of the right hemisphere processes the negative emotions. Na 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 na. The left hemisphere is over here like, huh. That's a good day, huh? Yeah, yeah, good day. Because all this comes up here. Now, the right hemisphere is our hemisphere that sees the whole, that loves images, that processes emotional information, that where the, all the nonverbal comes. So this is the right hemisphere, that artsy hemisphere. This over here is the linear, or logical, processes logical, step by step by step by step information. We tend to love this hemisphere in the United States. We love this hemisphere in school. We're like, oh, if we could just make this hemisphere do better, faster, and do some traditional change and get it more efficient so we can teach these four-year-olds to read. You know, we're all over this. Now, we're not so prone. We're like, oh, on the right one? Oh, you're going to art school, are you? Oh, Lord, you don't want to make any money, do you? So this over here is where we have the art, the music, the PE, the drama, the all those expressive arts, which get cut first anytime there's a money budget. Anytime we have money crisis, you're out of here. But yet this is how we can express and help us deal with all this negative emotion. The more we cut this, the more discipline problems we will have. Have y'all seen that happening? Again, look at the world for proof for this. Don't believe me. But also it comes up here, and this is the play hemisphere. This is the play hemisphere. The more we don't play and play with, quote, each other, which would bring you in, the more we don't play, the more we will be in trouble. The animals that play the most with each other are the most intelligent. The animals who play the most with each other are the most domesticated. The animals who play the most are the most successful. And if you look at the newest research, they took first world countries and looked at who had the most play. And the countries that allowed the most play had the highest achievement of all people. And generally, we want more play, and we want as much social play as we can possibly get up until the age of 7. Our kids aren't playing. They're not playing in social games like we did. They're either playing on their iPad, they're playing in front of a TV, or they're very in structured play. They go to soccer, karate, dance, ballet, and they start that at 3. So just hanging out on the, just go out and play doesn't really exist anymore. And play is essential for self-regulation. Say that with me. Play is essential for self-regulation. All right, so you can rest your arms, just to rest your arms a little bit. But did everybody see how it goes up here? So when it comes up here, it shows up as nonverbalness. One of the skills we're going to learn, it's going to be threaded all through our series, is noticing. Because we want to notice this. We usually don't notice this. We see it, but we're like, oh yeah, what the heck, until it blows up and becomes a disaster. Because this shows up first before he throws the desk, hits somebody. This you see way before that. If we could catch it there, we can do something with it. Wait till he throws the desk, then we got a bigger issue. So it shows up on the face. Now, when we see that face, then the behavior that follows, we tend to react in a certain way. Now, how we react to this teaches the left verbal side how to talk to ourselves for the rest of our lives. Now, it would be nice if this started to happen. Say, this is them, the spring, and he's getting, looks like he's angry and frustrated, correct? It would be great if this little left hemisphere would go, oh, wow, I see the signs. Let's take a breath and calm down. We can handle this. But that's not, I mean, I don't know what your left hemisphere says to you, but that's not your first language. You know, the first language is, okay, what the hell are you doing? I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, so where does that language come from? So I see this child looking like this, and here, watch what's going to happen. Here I come, and I say, don't you start. Don't you start with me right now. You hear me? Do you want to go to McDonald's? Because do you want to go to McDonald's? Well, then you better straighten up right now. Okay? 20 years later, starts feeling frustration and anger. And this unconsciousness on that CD-ROM says, let's eat. You find yourself standing in front of the refrigerator like this, and you're going, we have nothing to eat. And the reason you have nothing to eat is because you're not hungry, you're trying to medicate the way I taught you to medicate. That's how I taught you to self-regulate that emotion. And this will either support that or go, now look how fat you are. Do you see what I'm saying? It's going to wonder why you're in a mess that you're in and make up a story about it. Probably the story, you're no good, which is a lie. We are as precious and beloved as the day we were born, and we are lying to ourselves from the eyes of a four-year-old child who embedded something on a CD-ROM that we believe day after day, and it's time to stop. Now, let's say we have another one. So pull out another one, if you would, Melissa. Okay, now she's getting a little sad, okay? And it's going, oh, honey, what's the matter, honey? Look, look what Grandma got you. I got this microphone in my back pocket, but I'm not going to take it out for you, but it's back here. I have a little present. Let me see her smile. Let me see her smile. Okay, 20 years later, you go shopping. Unconscious on your CD-ROM, you start feeling sad. You find yourself pulling out a credit card that was maxed out 2 months ago and flanging it down and shopping. And it's called shop till you drop. And you do. Let's take happy. Pretend like the child is really excited. Now, you think, now how can we screw up excited? Okay, but we can. So the child gets so excited. And of course, going into church excited is not your best option. You know, you want to calm it down. But some child, have you seen them? They squeal. I mean, they are excited. So here's an excitement, and they're squealing. We're like, honey, honey. Settle down. Settle down. No, no, wait. No, no, that's too much. Settle down. Come over here. Come over here with me. Settle down. Settle. That is too much. Now, if you really want to go and be part of this, you're going to have to settle down. So we take that and settle it down. 20 years later. Biggest day of Blanche's life here. It's her wedding day. And she's going through her wedding day. And people are like, well, aren't you happy? And she goes, oh, yes, I'm very excited. She won't let herself be but so happy because she has to constantly keep a lid on her happiness. And also, she's going to be careful, too, with that happiness because you know when that next shoe is going to fall, and it could be a wedding shoe and a stiletto or something hit you in the head. So hopefully you understand how we talk to a child in an emotional state becomes part of a CD-ROM that can impact them for the rest of their lives. So we want to learn these new skills, and we will learn these skills. Remember, these first three sessions are just to get you kind of aware and conscious before we start the discipline journey of what to do. All right, let's give our brain a big hand. Thank you, guys. One thing, too, that I want you to know, and we didn't do it with the brain, but you can see, we also want to wire the brain left to right. We did it front to back, and that's through connection. And we do it left to right. And of course, that's through crossing the midline and doing a lot of that. But another way we cross is when the information comes up to the right hemisphere, it tends to be slightly complaining. You know, why are the lights so bright in here? I can't even see you people in the back row. I don't understand that. So, you know, I'm not emotionally upset. I'm just complaining. Can you see the difference? My emotional state would be, why are these lights in my face? But I'm like, oh my gosh, these lights, couldn't we have found another way? You know, just kind of a little nagging complaining. So the right hemisphere kind of is complaining, focuses on what you don't want, but not in a huge way, just constantly. You know, oh, look at the traffic, look at this, I can't believe that, look at the color red, oh. You know, it's just a constant chatter. Okay, the left hemisphere can focus on what you do want. So what we want to do is we want to, Melissa, would you just come up for a second? What we want to do is we want to hook the left and the right. Imagine I have on my apron. We want to hook this together. So she would complain, and I would simply say, she'd go, oh man, I don't know. These lights, they're all in my face. And we'd go, oh, you wanted them to spread the lights out or dim them slightly. So integrating this left to right, like this, is when we flip it from what we don't want to what we do want. And we integrate the brain, and then we're ready to solve a problem. We've got it all connected this way, we're all zipped up this way, and now we can solve that problem. So we want to go, you want it. Thank you, Melissa. Yeah, give her a hand. So here's how it would go. I can't do the math problems, so you want help. When you want help, raise your hand like this. Do you see how I connected it? I flipped it. You can't solve a problem from what you don't want. So we want to integrate that brain left to right. So see if you can hear these. I don't know why places like this have such hard chairs. You know, I don't know why places like this have such hard chairs. You wanted something more comfortable to sit on all day. I don't like negative people. You want people to feel better about themselves and others. Are we having spaghetti again? You were hoping for some fried chicken. See, so we want to just flip it. So when a parent comes in for an interview and she's telling you what's wrong, flip it. Or he's telling you what's wrong. When a child is saying, oh man, peanut butter and jelly, oh, you were hoping for spaghetti. And then, of course, we're going to follow that up with, we can have that certainly tomorrow. But tonight, you can have peanut butter or peanut butter and jelly, which would be best for you. So you don't get permissive, but it just allows you to solve the problem. Okay. Now, how much time do you spend, you think, helping children who talk out, interrupt, say things before thinking, and are generally a nuisance to others? Generally, how much time you think? A lot, right? A lot. Now, we call that a disruption, but it could be an impulse control issue, right? Okay. So how much time you think you'd spend helping children follow directions? Remember to put their name on that, to turn in their papers, to find your shoe. Where's your coat? Did you remember this? I mean, y'all spend a lot of time with that? Yes. Whether you're a parent or a teacher, you spend a ton of time with that. And we could call that laziness. We could call that all kinds of things. But you know what it is? It's a working memory issue. Just like the same working memory issue when we find ourselves going, why am I in this room? So how much time do you spend managing a child's emotions when it doesn't go their way, whether they act up or just give up, act out or give up? How much time? A ton, wouldn't you call it? Well, they're missing a skill, but that skill is called emotional control or emotional regulation. I'm just pointing out that these things we call discipline problems and have labeled them as discipline problems are really a missing skill. The more teaching we do, the more successful they will be. So how much time do you think you help children pay attention, focus on the task at hand, get back on the task after you've done a transition? How much time do you think you're doing with that? A lot. And again, that skill is called attention with a teensy bit of impulse control sprinkled on the side. So one of the things I want you to know is even though our job is to support the development of this prefrontal lobe, which we will be doing. It takes 24 years for this to mature. 24 years. And we expect children at 4 to have these skills down. At 5, at 6, at 7, by gosh, by 10, you're old enough now to know better. Well, I'm 63 and I don't have, you know, I still have these skills that aren't online at certain times. So the prefrontal lobe takes 24 years, and it seems like the only people who know this is the car industry. They won't rent a 24-year-old a car. They're like, I'm not giving a 24-year-old car who has pathetic prefrontal lobes and they can't access their executive state. And the insurance industry, okay, yeah, you want to drive that car? No problem. It'll cost you $1 million to have insurance because you prefrontal lobes are not fully developed. Your executive skill is pretty much offline, and therefore, it's going to cost you a fortune to drive your own car. So what we want to do is we want to know that teaching and parenting is lending our prefrontal lobe to children, our executive state to children in such a way that it scaffolds their development. And that sets us up for moving forward and learning more skills. So we have a choice because many of us were punished for not having certain skills. So they're now our weak suit. Like for me, organization is a weak suit for me. Oh, bad weak suit. Bad weak suit. So it was weak when I was young. It's still weak because I was punished for not having it. No one scaffolded that development for me. Impulse control is a weak suit for me because I was hollered at for being lacking impulse control and punished for it. So it's still, at my age, a struggle for me to manage myself. So we can't lend a skill we don't possess. So again, that's why conscious discipline starts with us. Let's upgrade our skill set. Let's know what our strong suit and weak suit is. And let's use structures that I'm going to provide for you in the home or the classroom, and they become like an external hard drive to support your weak suits. And that's pretty cool. Two things I want you to start practicing. Actually, three things. I want you to really advocate for and support children's playing in free, unstructured times with each other more. Our world needs us to recognize the value of something as simple as play, which is essential for brain development. And again, this develops through problem solving in social settings, out in the backyard trying to figure it out without an adult micromanaging it. So more play. And I want you to practice two skills, the Q-tip. It says, quit taking it personally. It's the brain and how the brain works. If they're in their emotional state, they're going to blame you for their life experiences, guaranteed. And if you're the mama, you get it double. You're going to get it. And it's not about being a bad mother. It's about that's how the brain works. Q-tip, quit taking it personally. And the other one is oops. Oops, O-O-P-S. Other opportunities to practice self-control so that you don't berate yourself. Disconnect your own brain and find yourself doing something that you ultimately will regret, keeping yourself in the lower centers of your brain, being more defensive and reactive. So, with that, we're getting ready for our commitment. So, if you are willing, once again, think about that animal. You might change animals now. Think about that animal. I want you to grab it, hold your animal in your hand, and I want you to say, given what I know, I want you to ask yourself, are you willing, given what you know about the brain, to embrace the Q-tip and oops method as a life skill? And if you're willing, toss it in. I once again have caught that in my heart. I join you in that. The more we know what's under the hood, the more we get to run a car and run it smoothly and graciously and make the car of our dreams. And that car of our dreams is us. And we are precious. We are beloved. And we can't ruin ourselves. We can't ruin our children. And it's time we claim that, own it, and give ourselves permission through quit taking it personally. And yes, we're going to make mistakes, but oops. Until next time, I wish you well.